in Prabhu's lectures.
It is not just compiling whatever is in Bhagavatam and presenting and relating to different other pastimes or philosophies present within Bhagavatam and other Srila Prabhupada literature, which is there of course. But apart from that, it is always wonderful to hear when somebody has experienced. And that can only come through realization, that can only come through ages of experience. It doesn't come automatically. So that is one very unique thing about Prabhu, and that's the benefit that we have to associate with Prabhu. To hear the realization, hear the experience, and also finding out what are the problems we see within ISKCON and our own devotional practice. Then, as we know, Prabhu has gone through health crisis, family issues, different problems, but we can see how Prabhu is so determined in serving Krishna despite all material tribulations. I was reading yesterday Sri Isha Upanishad, in which there is a mention about Acharya as in the 13th mantra. A spiritual teacher is the one who is not affected by material tribulation in his service to Guru and Krishna. So when we hear any story that Prabhu tells, any experience Prabhu tells, recently Prabhu was telling how he went to Kirtan Mela for his spiritual masters, Vyas Puja, what he had to go through, and so many past experiences from his early life experience later. But all the time, even though there are so many material challenges, but Prabhu is fixed in devotional service, fixed in determination. So we can see the practical application of devotional service in Prabhu's life, and Prabhu is kind enough to share those experiences. That really encourages us. Really, when think about Prabhu, we see a person has to go through so many different things, but at the same time, completely fixed in devotional service. So thank you very much for sharing all your experiences. And and another thing I really would like to say, that if you go to Prabhu with any questions, so it can be directly from Bhagavatam what we are covering, or if I meet Prabhu for some other questions I have on Bhagavatam, Prabhu has gives such an answers, and Prabhu refers to such vast notes and gives such so many references, so that the doubts or questions are answered from a philosophical point of view and from a very practical point of view, in application point of view. So Prabhu's presentations are complete in all directions. So we are very, very thankful for this. I feel very indebted to be in Prabhu's association and learn at least something. I have this year I had difficulty in terms of coming for classes, but I want to more listen to the lectures. I was asking, getting more lectures and listen online. So I wanted to get back to Prahlad Maharaj's prayers and go through one and again study. So I want to do that. So seeking your blessings. Thank you very much, Prabhu.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.
So it's very nice what you said. One of the things I don't do is to try and I usually over the course of my life I've just done my devotional service and then to the best of my ability and then just be happy with that. And it's always very surprising to me when someone points out, or I realise myself, that I'm doing something that other devotees are not doing. So you're saying these things as a and I appreciate that, but I always find it very surprising. I remember one time when I was in Adelaide, we had a situation where quite often the Bhagavatam speech wouldn't turn up to class, or the Bajara wouldn't turn up to do the Mongoladi or what have you. So I was always there, and I used to relish the opportunity. So they say, oh, Pujari hasn't turned up for Mongoladi, so I just jump on. I was already had my gear on. Someone hadn't turned up for class, so I jump on. So I used to get to give about, maybe every second or third day I was giving class. And a devotee came up to me one day and said, Gandhi, you are so austere. And I said, am I? I said, how? I really don't understand. He said, You sit there and you give class. It's just such a difficulty for me, you know, just like it, you know, I know I'm giving one class a week and I have to find something to say, and you know, you sort of got to sit there for the whole thing and you answer the question. And then as he was speaking, I realized that he was actually finding it very difficult to, you know, and it sort of really shocked me, because I thought every devotee would just like itching to get the opportunity to just sort of, you know, every opportunity, you know, and they're all prepared, they're always prepared for class. And I sort of started, just dawned on me that, you know, okay, there's something different, you know, that I'm doing, but I really assume. I remember another thing that comes to me when, you know, when we going way back, I think it's Bhakti Shastri. And we were doing some class exercises, and you know, we had to tell some Sankirtan stories. And I told a few Sankirtan stories, you know, a few of them there. And I said, now, okay, it's your turn. You know, tell some of these Sankirtan stories, because the Sankirtan stories from the old days are quite, you know, radical. But I remember seeing, not everyone sitting there with their mouth open wide, like, you know. And I'm saying, and I think it was pretty good. I said, come and said, but we don't have any. I was like, again, it was like, because I just assumed, yeah, I'll, you know, I'm up here, you know, everyone, you know, I'll give everyone a go, we'll go for hours, you know. But it was like just, you can hear the crickets in the background or whatever. But I really appreciate that, you know, and your sort of seeing that I have some unique qualities, you know, as in my devotional service. And I'm always very surprised when people see that there's something, you know, good or you know, unique, thank you. Still to this very day.
But
I really do appreciate that. Thank you. Prabhu's always
said to
them,
any you want
to
have any help,
go to Prabhu, he said,
to
give guidance,
support,
spend
his time, know
he's
very easy.
Just don't ask me to
play
the table and
play
you
up
and all.
But, I don't
know. I thank you for what you said, but, you know, for everyone, and I know that, you know, you're speaking on behalf of others as well, that, you know, I'm very happy that somehow or another, you know, that in one sense, that you're saying that I have made some advancement as a devotee. it's very encouraging. I always like to feel encouraged. There's a lot of discouragement this time. But thank you for saying that, yes, you've made some advancement. And of course, whatever...
But that goes beyond that. Even we are inspired and encouraged to do more services and do study Bhagavatam, so it goes way beyond what just your account. We are also able to do follow something out of that.
Whatever little advancement, because I have to, you know, I say that just, you know, a little drop of Prabhupada mercy, you know, my spiritual master mercy, and the mercy of Vaishnavas has. You know, allowed me to develop any of the good qualities that you're saying. So, you know, the credit is there. Prabhupada did so much. My spiritual master, the other Vaishnava spiritual masters in ISKCON, the Vaishnava can do so much. And some tiny, tiny little bit I've done in comparison to them. You know, just see the glories of devotional service, even if you just get a little bit of a few percentage advancement, you know, towards the qualities of the, you know, devotees, it's you're saying there's something wonderful, and I accept there's something wonderful, but certainly their mercy, Krishna's mercy, so just thank you very much.
Gopa Pandish Prabhu, mostly
told
most of the things he covered, Gopa Pandish Prabhu. So he hasn't left anything for me to talk. And even if I talk, you know, I don't think it'll match up what he has explained. What Gopa Pandish Prabhu so told was, you know, basically, you know, every word of it was true. Rather than, you know, glorifying, and which Gopi Vrindesh Prabhu said anyway, I just thought, Prabhu, I'll ask you something which I can learn, you know, for myself. The first thing is, after being a devotee for quite a long time, Prabhu, it's very difficult to maintain humility. You know what? I just want to wait. Every time one has to.
Where are you going? I'm being too proud.
One has to check. No, in my case, I've said I have to check. Make a check. Otherwise, you know, it goes over. I mean, for nothing, actually. I'm just saying. You know? So, what is the tip? I face that bit of, you know, when you give us one class, you feel, you know, like that, and sweet.
Well,
like that, Mother Prabhu, that's the first thing. And second question, Prabhu, is how do you prepare your classes, Bhagavatam class? Because I take a long time to prepare. I take quite a substantial time to prepare, you know. I'm just asking for you. So, is it. That's the second thing. Learn from you, sir.
I guess it's the answer to both is the same thing. That, when I first come across Prabhupada's books, I just fell in love with Prabhupada books, Bhagavad Gita and Nectar Devotion, which I read before they were meeting everybody. And then Srimad Bhagavatam, when I saw there was a whole volume of Bhagavatam and Nectar Instruction and Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhagavatams I read up to 10-14, which we had in those days, within the first 9 months. From the very beginning, I started to, you know, because it was just, because I was reading a lot, I understood I really had to take some notes because I was reading so much so quickly and there was just so much there, I understood I have to take some notes. So I wanted to have a notebook of all the analogies and, you know, this, that and the other. So I've done that literally since the day I joined. But those notes over all the years, I've accumulated, so I've never lost them. So then when we got computers and things, then what I'd actually written down in books, then I then typed them into the computer. And to this day, you know, they form the basis of my study. So still today, as I'm driving, especially like to listen to Prabhupada lectures about everything. And even if I've heard them before, but I still, you know, I have a piece of paper, I've written down the reference, and then particular statements that come up, you know, I will write that down, and where they come up again in other lectures, and, you know, I'll transfer those into a document. So, this morning I wrote down one note that Prabhupada was saying, if there's a disruption in your devotional service, somehow we don't take the opportunity and we fall away, it can be meaning to be, you know, if we've sort of fallen away because we've done something to disturb Krishna, you know, that's really made him unhappy. So we're not just not achieved success, but we've actually fallen away as a result of, and at the same time, somehow we've done something that's displeasing to Krishna. You know? So, for instance, sometimes you get people who take reinitiation from the guru in good standing, except someone who's who's not properly in their Vaishnava line as their guru. You know, it's a bit of an offence to the guru and all that. But Prabhupada was saying that generally, if you fall away from Krishna consciousness, it can be millions of years before you're situated on that path again. You know, that can be the ramifications of millions of years. Even for someone who's a devotee, he was saying this in my thoughts to the devotees, you know, that it's possible for the devotee who's actually in good standing to actually fall away in such a way at the same time doing something that Krishna really wasn't happy with. And it can be millions of years before that person who's in comes back to the point where they were able to then take up the devotional service like that. So, you know, quite, yeah, so, you know, but he had said that three lectures I've heard, and he said it in each lecture, you know, so it was really, so I wrote it down. So the point is, that's, the study is, and one of the things that, even when I was on the farm, I gave class every morning, even though I was the only one there, mostly, you know, and sometimes there were a few people, but every night I would study for that verse, and basically the study for a class, to me, is an opportunity where I think, right, you know, I made a document on this, and here's a verse related to that topic, or what have you. So it's almost like an excuse, okay, so now I can get out that document, or, you know, my notes on that chapter or that verse, and I can finish off where I left off previous. So study for class is almost like an excuse or an opportunity to get back to the, you know, the thing I love doing most, and it's just a draw for myself to go by the book. So, you know, I don't need much of an excuse, but if someone gives me one, you know, I'm really in heaven. Yeah. Are you going to study for class? Well, okay then, all right. But because when you're always thinking of Krishna like that, it's very hard to become proud. It really is. And when you're thinking of Krishna in terms of, you know, how Prabhupada presents, you know, Prabhupada would open up his eyes and say, this is God. You know, and, you know, or, you know, something very powerful there, something very wonderful. And the way Prabhupada said it, you know, when you feel like you're, you know, the servant of God, the way he also explains devotees, it's almost impossible after spending a bit of time thinking of Krishna and the devotees and the way Prabhupada, it's often very difficult to actually to get there. You sort of, so I guess, again, it's really a credit to, you know, hearing Prabhupada or, you know, the different acharyas and the movement and the books that they have that ability. So it's a natural consequence of actually, you know, hearing from Prabhupada or absorbing yourself in the books properly. It's a natural consequence. It's not really, you know, I don't feel there's anything to take credit for, because if you're reading Prabhupada's books and you're not, someone is not doing it properly or consistently or enough, then there's room for pride. But, you know, pride will come and like that. But it's almost impossible to maintain a pride. So it's not really, you know, I thank you, Brian, credit to me, but it's not my credit. But, you know, what it says to me is, can I get reading the books properly? you know, the Prabhupada goes to, you know, the credit goes to Prabhupada and his books, you know, principally. You know, whatever, like, you know, I seem to be, you know, as you're saying, it looks like I'm really inspired to do devotional service, but really I'm inspired to be and enjoy this world, you know. But if you read Prabhupada's books, it's almost like you just can't maintain that, you know. You can't maintain your normal material propensities. if you're really just entering Prabhupada's books and, you know, you're good, and then these, you know, very nectarian leaders, how he implemented that in such a wonderful way, and you see it actually works in a very nectarian way. So it's that's how I started as a devotee. You know, basically I was on the streets, and then I said, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. So, you know, I'm joining the temple, and the next morning, 13 rounds, and after that, 16 rounds, and gave up all my bad habits and just associated with devotees. I understood that I'm such a materialist that if I didn't do it fully and properly, it's just, you know, I understand that from the very beginning, even though we begin. If I'm going to do this, I can't have one foot in here and one foot in my hippie world. You know, and I understood that from the start, and that's the way I've always tried to do my devotional services. Basically, there's so much rubbish in the heart, so many bad habits. I either do it and get the effect, and really, otherwise, not going to happen. So, I think, you know, because and the one thing that I found that you know, for every devotee, you know, there's something in ISKCON which is really ultra attractive, where Krishna appears to them in a very attractive form. For me, it was Prabhupada's books. To me, you know, it was almost like an addiction, you know, and it just replaced all my other addictions. And, you know, one of my advices to devotees is find your addiction, you know, in ISKCON, that you just you can't get enough of, you know. For some, it's prasad.
I think for everyone,
for some it's kirtan, for some it's the friendship of devotees, you know. For some it's the festivals, you know. But whatever it is, you find that because it just overrides everything. So, you know, it gives you enthusiasm, it gives you strength, it gives you purification, it gives you intelligence, it gives you direction. It's very hard, you know, as much as I'd love to, I'd love to take credit for everything, too, but when you just find something that's just really overpowers you, you know, it's like, and it just doesn't, you know, it's too forceful to allow you to do something else, and you find that within this con. And, you know, it's just the natural consequences. You know, like a magnet, you know, mental to a magnet. You can't, you know, you might say, I feel like the piece of metal. You're saying, oh, you know, the piece of metal, you know, look how quickly you went to the magnet. And like that, you know. But basically, I know that I was a rusty old bit of iron. Something that brought me into this con, polished me up, and then I got attracted to Krishna again. Oh, well done. I think of it, how could I not? And, so,
Anybody else?
Thank
you.
You keep having, actually, just when you're talking about being attracted to Prabhupada's books, it made me realize how you're an example of a devotee who shows us how to continue the movement in Prabhupada's absence, because like some of us were initiated by a disciple of Prabhupada, but you joined this one just after Prabhupada left, I guess. So in that way, then, we need devotees to, like yourself, who just really survived Prabhupada's mood, even though they weren't physically present when he was here, but at the same time, showing us how you actually are associating with Prabhupada, yeah, like through his books. And so,
it's one of the hardest questions that I find to answer when people say, have you met Prabhupada? And even before I came to the movement, I always felt when I was reading Prabhupada's books that I always felt Prabhupada was present, you know. So then, you know, to come to his movement, you can imagine how much I felt Prabhupada's movement, how much I felt Prabhupada present, you know, because you just, you know, I guess I had that understanding of a saintly person, you know. I didn't properly understand what a saintly person was, whether a Vaishnava or an impersonalist or what have you, but I understood that people like Jesus, they were, you know, people who worship in Christianity, they understand that Jesus is present in their lives, you know, as a saint. And people who worship, you know, Allah, Muhammad, they understand that he's there. And people who worship Buddha, they understand that he's present. So, you know, when I thought in terms of Prabhupada, you know, it's just natural. You think, well, here is a great saintly person teaching the same things. You just naturally think he's present, you know. So it wasn't like a big leap of faith to think in those terms, because that's generally what people do. Except that I really did feel his presence, because I used to test him out. You know, before I met a devotee, what I do is I get the Bhagavad Gita, and I had this scene where I'd flip open the book, and I'd see the verse, what Krishna was saying, and what Prabhupada was saying in the purport. And I'd sort of feel that, okay, so then you test it. Are they talking to me? Can I use this bit of information today in my life? You know, which is very strange, because I was a hippie. But, you know, it was, you know, very pertinent, because, you know, they're both saying, well, you're actually suffering, younger. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. So I remember one time, you know, I used to do a lot of drugs and things like that. And, you know, you have the LSD and that, you think you're having these great realizations. And, but then after the trip, you come down and you think, I can't remember anything, you know, what happened. So I thought, next time I get really high, I'll write it down. And so I kept this little notepad and pen with me. And then in the middle of the trip, when I was peaking, as I say, and having my greatest realisations, I wrote it down. Gotcha, I'll remember you now. And then I forgot about that notebook. And then, you know, like, might have been months or something like that later, I found it. Like, this is the book I was tripping, my realisation. And I opened it up, because my name was people called Danny. And I opened it up, and it said, Danny, I think you can. He messed up their life. So, you know, my realizations, even while intoxicated, gradually lined up with the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that I'm just suffering, I'm just making a mess. So, but I used to do that, and I used to find that, yeah, they're present, they're talking to me like that. So, you imagine coming to ISKCON, I already felt like that. You know, and then you come to ISKCON. You know, Prabhupada's presence was in every person you met there. Prabhupada said this, Prabhupada did this, Prabhupada liked to do that, you know, like that. We sing to Prabhupada every morning, and we were praying to Prabhupada, and, you know, Prabhupada established this. You know, so he's never ever felt to this day that Prabhupada wasn't here. And, you know, there were different times where you know, some really the major test that I had as to even I believe in Krishna, but can I stay in this one? And you know, I never ever doubted Prabhupada to this day since I picked up the Bhagavad Gita, not even for half a second. And and as a result of that, you know, Prabhupada says Krishna is God, then I've never doubted Krishna. That, you know, it's easy to have doubts about Krishna, but it's almost impossible to have doubts about Prabhupada. But you know, those books of Srila Prabhupada, therefore, you know, it's a very powerful relationship with Prabhupada. This is, after all, you know, his movement, and everything that every devotee does is really something that Prabhupada would like us to do, otherwise it shouldn't be in ISKCON, you know. And that goes for 10,000 years, that every devotee, everything they do, what they do is something, this Prabhupada's movement. We only do what Prabhupada wants in this movement. You want to do something else? Go for another movement. That, you know, that's why Prabhupada, you know, it's an underlying statement. And even more so than Krishna, Because we understand that Krishna sometimes has different moves and different things at different times and different avatars. And in this time, you know, Prabhupada is representing that Krishna wants you to follow him through how I establish him. And therefore, and what Prabhupada wants comes down to his books. So, you know, our main idea of how we, you know, what do we do, you know, how do we eat, how do we sit, how do we clean ourselves, how do we chant, it's all got to go back to Prabhupada originally. And, you know, a very interesting phenomenon I'm finding now is that different devotees are sometimes sitting down and they're discussing that. I remember a class, you know, such and such came a couple of years ago, one of the devotees here in Melbourne or something, and they told this story and they said they gave this realization. And I thought, but that's what Prabhupada said in his lecture in Bombay in 1971. Mm-hmm. Why they didn't tell the devotees that? It's like they presented it as their realization. And then someone else told me some story, and he told this story, and he had these realizations. But that's Prabhupada's realization. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you know, and it's happened quite a lot, and I'm thinking, did they mention that was Prabhupada told that? No, it was like his story. But actually, that's Prabhupada's realization, that's Prabhupada's story. So it's another phenomenon that I'm seeing, that even when we're, you know, presenting, Prabhupada's not even getting credit. He's passing on these realizations, which we now take as their staple realizations. And now they're not even tracing it back to Prabhupada. It's like, as if, you know, this is his story, this is his, you know, this is where that realization came from. This is why the gurus are saying that, because they got it from, you know, like that. So that's, you know, being cut off. So there's phenomena like that, and of course it can be a little dangerous, you know, right? But I've just always understood from that very beginning that, you know, everything we do in ISKCON has to be pleasing Prabhupada. Prabhupada's right there in his books, and if you study the books, you'll always know what Prabhupada would like you to do, and that's really, you can't, there's no, you know, that's the... you know, people can say this, people can say that, but if you're sure, because you've cross-referenced it, you've looked at all, you know, you've looked thoroughly through his books, thoroughly through his lectures, thoroughly through, you know, his conversations, and what it all comes back to, when it comes to this, this is what he was to do, despite the fact that he said that at a different circumstance, in a mainstream like that, then you really feel solid, one, I'm pleasing Prabhupada, my life is perfect. There's nothing else that needs to be done. And people can argue this, that, and the other. And if they want to argue, I've just got to show them the difference. I've done that sometimes with the wise one. You know, he said something in class. He's like, Maharaj, you know. I don't do it very easily. But because you get chastised. But and I did it with my spiritual master. But, you know, I've said, I'm not sure about what you said here because Prabhupada actually says this, you know. And then he sort of... And he said, you know, I try and avoid that, but you know, I don't count out things to the same degree. I did it probably two or three times, and that was enough to never do it again. but I always did feel, you know, I've felt very, very safe in this one. And but you know. Again, because Prabhupada is just such a one of the, you know, biggest personalities from the spiritual world that has entered our universe in this day of Brahma in such recent history, and he's there particularly for us to actually directly take Shalabha in the sense of the Shiksha Guru. I'm really surprised, as if I'm doing something that people think, well, that's really good that you're doing that, you know, something unique. It surprises me. I sort of keep thinking that everyone is doing that, of course, why wouldn't you? You know, it's like Prabhupada, you know, and his books, you know. It's sort of, and when someone says, it's, you know, really interesting, you've done that, I find it hard to take it as a credit. And I find it, you know, very surprising that other form is learning. But as I'm going through, you know, over years, one thing I am learning is, you know, is that actually the most simplest thing that we should be doing is probably the last thing that people are doing. You know, the simplest, surest thing that we should be doing in this time is quite often the last thing on the list of the rules sometimes what they're doing. Which is very surprising. So, you know, it's a moment because I you know, I thank you for offering me praise, and you know, I don't understand it. I was praiseworthy. But the fact that if I'm doing something, you know, that is important, you know, it was pleasing to Prabhupada, and it's not common, then I feel very blessed to have had the opportunity, you know, for the grace of Prabhupada and Krishna and the association to do something to make sure those very important things become the natural norm for every devotee in this world. That's, you know, that's what I'd like to say. Hare Krishna. What's that? I'll take some of his home.
Yeah. What's on
there?
I'll be there.
I'll eat again this evening.
So you don't want to eat now more than this?
I'll sure. Finish my dal.
No, Prabhu was talking, so he didn't get time.
That's what I'm saying. But then, no.
There's
we
one
meant to praise it, but then we made
it
some
other tricks
out
there.
Okay.
Mataji, just now, Prabhuji got a box of one more pizza.
Yeah.
You got one more set of drink for him to take home.
Oh, really? Wow.
So that's there. Beside that, maybe some cakes and whatever you want. So we'll pack it up.
Yeah.
That's
what I think.
Narendra
Gopi, you want to get it behind
Sky then? Narendra Gopi, you better say something.
Sure.
Now, when you know, when I'm, if I don't want to eat, or I only want to eat a little bit, I'll let them ask me a question.
No more questions, but just speak.
that's the practical application. You know, acting piously, do something pious. If you don't want to do something pious. Okay, ask me a question, a question.
So on that note, I'd like to say some words. As Gopalindesh Prabhu, Surya Gopal Prabhu, and all the Prabhus here have already reiterated some of your unique qualities, because we don't find that often in the circle that we are exposed to. So we're very grateful for, you know, Gangeshwar Prabhu for, you know, his realizations that he's sharing freely with us in these classes, and his experiences over the last 40 years, ranging from, you know, meeting strangers on Sankirtan, or dealing with temple authorities in various centers, or interacting with devotees in his circle, and interacting with the Hindu community that come to him for a lot of sacrifices, yajnas. So he has actually pulled out the essence of all his experiences, and he's you know, sharing that as his ecstasies when he's giving these classes. So I think we all are actually very blessed to be in his association and be able to attend these classes on a regular basis. Apart from this, he has also given us the understanding of how the, you know, some of the controversial topics need to be presented to, you know, contemporary audiences without alienating them or making them feel inferior in any way. So it's a very niche preaching technique, practical application, which is not very often taught to, you know, new devotees. So we are also very fortunate to have someone who can give us the guidance. And the other thing is about his personal qualities. So despite having such high qualifications in devotional service,
he has always been very humble, down to earth, and respectful with everyone, even small children. So I have personally noticed, for instance, in one class there was, we had in Prabhupada's room upstairs, there was a very small child, possibly even a non-devotee person, who was sitting there with his mother. He was just making a lot of noise, and Prabhu was just about to start the class on Prahlad Maharaj. And instead of telling them, you know, please leave the room, we have to go on with our practices, he actually encouraged the child to say, you know, we're talking about Prahlad Maharaj. Do you want to be like Prahlad Maharaj? Then, you know, just try to sit and listen. Let's see if you can do it. So he was also encouraging that person. And after a while, that boy couldn't take it anyway. So he went out with his mother. But Prabhu, after the class, he explained to us why he was dealing with him in that manner. He said, we don't know who that person is. He's appearing to be a three-year-old, but he's sitting in Prabhupada's room. So we need to be careful with whoever we are dealing with. So that was his mood and consciousness, even with dealing with, you know, somebody who is just a newcomer to the temple, possibly even a non-devotee. So I feel, you know, very, when I see the practical application of the qualities that are mentioned in our shastras being, you know, displayed by Gangeshwar Prabhu, it's a real learning for all of us as to how these qualities have to be imbibed. Although I am personally very far from that platform, but at least I have an opportunity to practically witness Prabhu's dealings with devotees and even the persons outside the devotee circle. So I again wish you a very long life, Prabhu, and I hope we'll also have classes on Bhakti Sarvabhama with you.
And Chaitanya Charitam, brother.
Yes.
I accept that question.
Sarvabhama.
Thank you, Bhakti.
Thank you.
So, you want to say
something? I think pretty much covered, but personally for me, it's been recently that I've started attending Prabhu's classes. Gopinath Prabhu inspired me that I could start learning, studying Srimad Bhagavatam from Prabhu. And I think Prabhu duly agreed that I could come. Having said that, I haven't attended any of the previous classes, but after attending Prabhu's classes, there was a personally for me great interest and to study Bhagavatam. And the way I see Prabhu teaching Bhagavatam is something that I haven't seen anywhere else. I could practically say he has practical applications for each of the verses that you quote in. Even a paragraph of Prabhupada's purport in each of the verses. He has like so much vast amount of experience and realization behind those purports and verses that it's like I'm trying to take notes, but I just get so absorbed that I can't take all of it at the same time as Prabhu was saying. He just wants to write it down, and I feel similar way. I want to write it down. I can't write all of those experiences as an example, but thank you so much, Prabhu, for accommodating me here and inspiring me to study Bhagavatam further on. And I hope that I'll be able to meet up to your expectations and. Thank you so much.
I sometimes I try and analyze or critique my own classes, and one of the ways I do that is to see how quickly people put their pens down. What? I see. Yes, I'm encouraging you. Please take notes. But then when I see that you're putting your pens out, I think, God, they're absorbed in the Bhagavatam, and that's better than any notes. You know, listen to the lecture. You know, write it down. But you know, to actually, you know, you see someone who's actually, oh, I'm enjoying. You know. right, and I was kidding myself away. But no, I remember, one time, was really, my spiritual master, he stayed in New Zealand for a while, and he got a bit ill, so he was there for a long, long time, which was sort of unusual for him. And we used to be able to massage his feet, and then, he'd lay in bed, and then, we'd read him a Christian story, or sometimes before going to bed, he'd sit on the couch, so they'd just sit beside the couch and just read him a story. So I was reading the Krishna book, and there's one particular story, which is the story of Rukmini, where they cut off his moustache and things like that. And for years, every time I read that, I just, if I'm by myself or if I'm with others or in class, I just crack out loud. And I really can't help it. Anyway, I was reading it, and I just burst into laughter, and my godbrothers are just sort of beside me, like, held on, and I just wanted to just chat. The more they try and stop me, the more I just crack that up, and then I try and read, because they're telling me, no snip topping, and I just crack up, and I just couldn't go on reading, And so I think they took the book off me or something, and they're saying, it's like, I've sort of thought, that was really disturbed with me. And then he said, no, let him read, I would like it, And I could see that he was happy because, I was actually enjoying Prabhupada's books, just really enjoying them, he really enjoyed that. This person, he likes Prabhupada's book, he gets something, it's like a good movie, a concert, sort of like that. So he just really enjoyed that. But I like to do that, But they're not just doing it, but when I see people that are just relishing the Srimad Bhagavatam, I think, that's what you want to see, It's beyond an intellectual understanding, what have you, but they're just really enjoying the Bhagavatam. They're wanting to come back. The pens are going down, what have you. That's good. Thank you.
Many of us have appreciated Gangeshwar Prabhu's classes. I'll just give every time. Every time he says, how this applies to ISKCON, my ears perk up. Because that's where most of the tire meets the road, as we say, how to apply the philosophy on day-to-day life. So his practical realizations as to how we can apply in ISKCON is very valuable. And for his enthusiasm and his patience, I can say that about the verse, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam, I was able to discuss it for 4 months plus, and his enthusiasm was much more than many of our participants just to listen. And even then, he was curtailing it. He could have spoken another 4 months plus possibly, but he was curtailing it, making it short. So that's real depth of knowledge, the ocean of knowledge and the mercy that he was pouring it out in Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam verse. And every time he would come back, it all comes back to Shravanam. No matter what it is, it all comes back to Shravanam. We have to hear, and we have to hear more.
Those simple main things that we're supposed to be doing as devotees, which strangely enough, no one does anymore. And I'm just surprised. Thank you. I'm glad I made a few friends by saying and how the supplies in ISKCON, because I quite often make a few enemies. At least I've made a few friends as well. Yeah.
It's
basically, if I have any issues, I go straight to
Kamishapur. That's why I choose Kamishapur.
we talk about devotee association in the temple. And I feel because of this program, we have the devotee association as well. Because other people, generally people are too busy. They're very busy and they don't have time. Nobody has time. Time is one thing people don't have. Despite all
the
busyness,
I think
he has to.
Again, say this, I find it so hard to understand that because so I feel like I'm the person giving the least time because I'm always so busy. So, that's interesting, you should say that. Thank you.
And lastly, I would like to say something. So, ever since I've been in the temple, trying to be Krishna conscious. Like Prabhupada said, he read Bhagavad Gita before coming to the temple. I was in the similar boat reading the Bhagavad Gita first before coming to the temple. So anyway, after that, immediately I happened to go to Sydney, and then I had Prabhupada's lectures cassettes being on sale. So normally, at that time, cassettes were being converted to DVD, so the cassette boxes, they were all on sale. So every box had some 16 tapes, cassettes, 60 minutes each. And then they had some 10 of them on file. It only cost me $100 for me. So I paid $100, I got the whole bulk and went home. And then ever since, while I was working, it was very stressful. Then I started hearing every day one tape, whole day. Every side, A side, B side, on and on and on. Like Prabhupada said, I used to make notes. Then I used to compare myself, what I'm doing, and then what Prabhupada is saying. And then he says, read Bhagavad Gita, my Bhagavata every day. And I try to read by myself. I read up to 4 cantos, I'm not getting anywhere. Like Prabhupada said, you might make an attempt to read, but it depends, if it's not coming from the authoritative source, it's not going to pierce through my ears, or anyone for that matter, I think. So even that Prabhupada says, try to understand Bhagavatam from the authoritative source. So ever since I'm seeing the temple 2005, I think Keshav Prabhupada was doing canto 1, chapter 10 or something like that. But Prabhupada says, go from the beginning. Don't go anywhere in the middle, always go from the start. So I missed the Keshav Prabhupada. I used to attend Keshav Prabhupada's class sometimes in the temple. He used to give the exclusive classes as well. It's very nice, I like this. So I missed it, then I'm waiting for the opportunity for reading Bhagavatam, understanding Bhagavatam through the authoritative source. Then ever since, I don't know, Krishna heard it or what, then he started Bhagavatam Bhakti Vaibhava in 2010, February 1st. So I came to the class and the theater room was fully packed. So many of them, no room to sit. Day one. So I was just somewhere in the corner. I always sit at the back, if you all might notice. So then end of the class, I told Prabhupada, I have no qualification, whatsoever it's required, because the first class, he mentioned the requirements. So I'm nowhere near, so will you allow me to sit and listen, because that's what Prabhupada says, you sit and listen from the authoritative source. So ever since I'm listening to Prabhupada on one hand, and he's saying to listen from the authoritative source, and many things what Prabhupada said, all the qualities are imagined with Tanya Shubhu. So every class that he speaks, everything that he says, so it's quite often from Prabhupada's words from the back. Either it could be from the purport or from the lectures, whatever. So I said, now, then on, I'm going to sit and listen to this. Ever since, I'm not missing one of his classes. I don't understand how much I understand, but I love to just sit and hear from the authority. So like what you were saying, coming back to square one, Shravana. So this is what I'm trying to do. Again, Prabhupada is like, Prabhupada says all the time, you have to be thorough in Bhagavad Gita before you start speaking. So Prabhupada is also well versed in Bhagavad Gita, it brings up the references that he's going on. So he's very thorough, like Prabhupada's one. So someone, I think, is following the Prabhupada's footsteps. So I love to be in someone's, I like Prabhupada, he said, you have to find what's going to be very important for you, what you like the most. Singing songs, reading Prabhupada's books or what. So like I love Prabhupada's books, reading them, hearing. So similarly I find it with him, so I just love to sit with this class. And for him to tolerate me in the class, so I have to be ever thanking him. So I just take this opportunity to thank him, for him to sit and hear your lectures and have your association. Thank you so much.
Yes.
I detected his love of the Bhagavatam from the very beginning. He would like to hear. And that was one thing I always liked about Lalai Sanjay from the very beginning, that he really liked to hear, and you could see that. And I knew that, with that one quality, he'd end up understanding all the Prabhupada's books thoroughly and take Brahman and take initiation, because he liked to hear. I understood that that was the main thing. From that, everything else would come. And it's been my great pleasure to watch Balaban enjoy the classes. Thank you very much. And to grow as a devotee, just on that quality of hearing, submissively, which is I think really
solid blessing.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Wish you again long life and good health. Thank you.
Prabhu, before we go, next week is His Grace Gurujan Prabhu's retreat is happening in the farm. So, what's your? Are you going to have a class?
Yeah, so I imagine that everyone is there, and I just sort of miss out. And so we'll skip class next week. I think my wife's going to the first day, Saturday. She was going to go to the whole thing, but I needed her for ceremonies on Sunday. So. The Delco ceremony is Saturday, Sunday. I very rarely I can go to those retreats, but one day. We'll meet up the week after that.
Thank you.
Sorry for
the delays.
No, it's worth waiting 100 years to find such a little bit of love in this world. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna.